Today's share in the Daf Yomi is Daf Kuf Yutes. We're also in Yirtz Hashem going to do Daf Kuf Chof Omud Aleph as well, because we're coming up on Pesach. There are going to be a number of days where we will not be able to give the Daf through technology online like this, and therefore we'll try to pick up an extra half Daf a couple of times to make up for those days. In any event, we're learning today Lili Nishmas Isaac Wolf. His yard site was on Sunday, March 14th. Yehuda ben Yitzhak Isaac. All the Neshams we learned for should have an Aliyah. We continue in the Gemara, saying over various members that Rabbi Shmuel ben Rav Yossi said, some in his own name and some in the name of his holy father, Rav Yossi. We begin on the first wide line in the Gemara, 6 lines down from the top. Kuf Yutes Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Kahana, Mishum Yishmuel ben Rav Yossi. Rav Kahana said the name of Rabbi Shmuel ben Rav Yossi. Maidisiv, what does the pasuk mean when it says Lam Natseach Mizmor LeDavid? You have this double loshon of the introduction to the capital of Tillim. Lam Natseach Mizmor LeDavid. So it means Zamru, you should sing praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lemi Shenotz Klim Osov Sameach, to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loses Kavi Yochel, and yet he's very happy about being bested in a debate or in a discussion, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy. And the Gemara says, Bo Re'eh, look at the difference. Shlokim Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Basu Adom. Look at the difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a person on this world, a human being. Boss of Adam, a regular person, if you defeat him, Midaskin Oso Vatsev, if you defeat him, he becomes very sad. Nobody wants to be the loser. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Notzkin Oso, when you quote Kaviyochu, defeat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'sameach, he is very, very happy. And where do we see this from? Shenemar, by Moshe Rabbeinu, when he tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, please don't destroy Klai Yisrael. And he has a winning argument that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't destroy Klai Yisrael after the Chet HaEgel. So he says, Vayomer L'Hashmidam, Lule Moshe Bechiro, Amad Baperetz Lefanav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu states to the Malachim that I would have killed all of Klai Yisrael, I would have wiped out Klai Yisrael. It wasn't the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, my chosen one, stood in the breach, in the Peretz, and protected them. And therefore, you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy about, quote, losing to Moshe Rabbeinu, yet he's called Moshe Bechiro. He's called the chosen one. He's called the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy that he chose, even though he, quote, defeated HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm Rav Kahana, Mishum Rishua Bar Yossi. Another statement Rav Kahana makes in the name of Rishua Bar Yossi. He says as follows. Now, others have the gears over here. It says on the side, for Amri Rabbanan, or Rabbanan Amri, that the rabbis said it wasn't Rav Kahana in the name of Rishua Bar Yossi, but it instead was Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rish Lakish, who said it, Bishum Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who said the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya should not be confused with Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was the redactor of the Mishnayos, the great Tana, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, known as Rebbe. His grandson is Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Some call him the first Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya because he's going to have children and grandchildren himself. They're also known as Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, later Amoraim. In any event, this Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was the first generation Amora. So Reish Lakish was a contemporary of his, and Reish Lakish said in his name, that's the second version over here, or it was Rav Kahana saying in Rishua Yossi. In any event, whoever said this, they said as follows. What does the pasuk mean when it says, "My dechsev"? The pasuk in Yecheskel tells us, "Videi Adam mitachas kanfeim." This is in the first parak of Yecheskel, where it deals with the Ma'isim Merkava, famous haftorah that we have. So the pasuk says, if you read it literally, it says, "Videi Adam mitachas kanfeim." When it's describing the creatures that are holding up the Merkava, so it says there is the hands of a person that is underneath the wings of these creatures. So the word that we just pronounced, Videi, is actually Yodo Ksiv. It's actually written, not Videi, the hands of a man, but it's written Yodo, his hand. So, therefore, it's as if Kaviyochal HaKadosh Baruch was saying, one of the Yud Gimel Midas of the Rambam is that HaKadosh Baruch doesn't have a guf. And therefore, whenever we use these anthropomorphisms describing HaKadosh Baruch Yod Chazakah, Zro Netuya, so obviously HaKadosh Baruch doesn't have any guf, so he can't have hands, he can't have Moshe Rabbeinu seeing the tefillin on his head, the talus over his head. These are all expressions that we use for us to be able to somehow comprehend something that's incomprehensible. So it says over here, this implies that this is the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is underneath these knofayim, underneath these wings. So the Yodosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheprusa, that's spread out, tachas kanfei achayos, underneath these chayos, these creatures. And what's the purpose of this hand? It's kaviyachol, as if kidei lekabel balei tshuva, to go and grab and collect the balei tshuva miyad midas adin, from the midas adin. So this is an attribute of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's saving these people in Klai Yisrael that Nebuch would be punished, but he's saving them through his Midas HaRachamim. Amar Yehuda Mishmuel. Mara tells us a statement that Yehuda made named Mishmuel. Kol Kesef Zohav Sheba'olam, all the silver and gold of the world. Yosef Likto Vivil Mitzrayim. At the time of the great famine, when Yosef predicted through the dreams that he interpreted from Paro there would be a huge famine in the world, so Mitzrayim collected all the food for these 7 years of plenty, and then when there was famine, people from all over the world came and brought all their money. Ultimately, the world's money was all in the hands of Yosef's treasury that he had established because everybody was starving, and that was the only place to get food. So all the kesef and zov in the world ended up being in Mitzrayim. Shneamar, the pasuk says, "Vayelakit Yosef es kol hakesef hanimtza." Yosef gathered all the money that could be found. The end of that pasuk said that he collected all the money that was in Eretz Mitzrayim and Eretz Kinan. So I would only know that he collected the money from those places. How do we know he collected Bishar, Aretzos, Binayin? How do we know he collected from the rest of the world as well? Talmud Loma, because the pasuk says, V'chol ha'aretz bo Mitzrayim. Everybody came up to Mitzrayim to go and get food when there was a famine in their country. So therefore, the entire world eventually gave over all their money to Mitzrayim. No, what happened to all that money? So when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they took all that money with them. They were promised, Avraham Avinu was promised that Kir Yezar Chob Eretz Lohem, Vavadu Minu Osam, Vavami Yoshna. And then, when they would leave, Vachar Ken Yitzu Berchush Gadol. They would leave with this Berchush Gadol. So that's what happened. Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, Helu Imam, they took all this money with them. As the Pasuk says, Shinemar, Vayinatzlu Etz Mitzrayim. What does it mean, Vayinatzlu? So literally it means they took everything out of Mitzrayim. So Rav Asi Omar, he says, Asu Kimetsuda. The word Vayinatzlu comes from a lotion of a trap. Zush Ein Bo Dogon. So they made Mitzrayim like a trap that doesn't have any Dogon in it. Rashi explains that they would normally put out these traps for birds, Sheporsim Laofos Lotzut, in order to trap these birds. So a trap that doesn't have birds, ain't of nifne elah, that's not going to be a successful trap to go get the birds to want to come to that trap. So therefore they made Mitzrayim like a trap that doesn't have any food inside of it. They took everything. So that is Rav Asi's understanding of Ayinatzlo. Rish Lakish, Rav Shimon, and Lakish is the Girsa that we have on the side. The Girsa our Gemara has is just Rav Shimon, but on the side it says Kach Tzorech Lomar, and this is the Gemara in Brachos that has a similar story, also the Yalkut. So therefore, we'll call it Reish Lakish. Rav Shimon Lakish Omar, he says Ki Metzula Shein Bodogim. He compares it to a Metzula here instead of a trap. He says Metzula means the depths of the ocean, so the bottom of the ocean has much less wildlife than the top of the ocean. Shein Bodogim. So therefore, the fish aren't present at the bottom of the ocean. They clean Mitzrayim out like the bottom of the ocean that has no fish. What happened with all this money? It stayed in Eretz Yisrael through all the years of the Shoftim and through Shaul and David HaMelech and then Shlomo. And then when Shlomo's son, Rechavim, the kingdom of Israel was split into two parts, into Malchus Yehuda and Malchus Yisrael with Yerovim ben Nevat and Rechavim, the son of Shlomo. So Rechavim had all the money. It was all this money was staying in the storehouses of Rechavim until he lost it all to the Melech Mitzrayim. As the pasuk says, Bo Shishak Melech Mitzrayim unetolomi Rechavim. Shishak came, Shinemai, as the pasuk tells us, Vahi Bashona Hachamishis Lemelech Rechavim, in the 50th year of Rechavim's reign, Olo Shishak Melech Mitzrayim Ayushalayim, he went up to fight Yushalayim, Vaikach his Otsros Beis Hashem, Yes Otsros Beis Hamelech, and he took out all the storings that were in the Otsar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Otsar of the Melech. In other words, he cleaned out the palace. He cleaned out the king's treasury. So that's where all this money went. It went all the way down from Moshe Rabbeinu taking it out of Mitzrayim with Klal Yisrael. They were laden with 90 donkeys or 90 camels worth of riches from Mitzrayim. And then ultimately it was taken back to Mitzrayim by Shishak, who was the king of Mitzrayim, but he didn't hold on to it for long. But Zerach Melech Kush unetolomi Shishak. So Zerach, who was the king of Kush, he ultimately took this money from Shishak. The Rashbam explains that we don't have psukim for this. This was a Gemara. This was a Kabbalah that they had. Then, however, Bo Asa. Asa came there. We have psukim for that. Unetolomi Zerach Melech Kush. He took it from Melech Kush. Asa was a great king of Yehuda, and he took this money from Mitzrayim. He took it back. But he had to end up giving it to Shigro Ladrimon Ben Tavrimon. That's the Girsa that we have. Other Girsas are on the side. Mehadad Rimon. In any event, he had to give it to him in order to help him fight Basha. So That money returned now to Hadrimon ben Tavrimon. Bo b'vnei Amon unutolim Hadrimon ben Tavrimon. But that money didn't last long with him. Amon came and took it from him, and then ultimately Amon lost it back to Malchus Yehuda. Bo Yehoshapha. Yehoshapha was a great king of Yehuda unutolim b'nei Amon, and he took this wealth, all this money, back from the b'nei Amon. And this stayed in the hands of Malchus Yehuda until it came to the father of Chizkio, Achaz. He was a rotten king, and he lost it to Sancheriv. So Achaz lost it all to Sancheriv. And Sancheriv almost conquered the whole world, but then he went to fight Yerushalayim and Chizkio HaMelech, and he was defeated. And therefore, in that defeat, that crushing defeat, which was a miraculous event, that Malachim sang Shira, and they killed all of Sancheriv's army, Bo Chizkio unutolim Sancheriv. So Chizkio took all the wealth back from Sancheriv. Rashbam explains that the kings used to take all their money out to fight with them. Right? We see Paro, when he took all the wealth of Mitzrayim out to fight with them, this made it that they would fight with a little bit more vigor, because they said, if we lose, we also lose all of our possessions. So this was a strategy in order to make them fight to the death, fight to make sure that they didn't lose not only the battle, but they would lose all their possessions. In any event, Chizkio took it back from Sancheriv, and it stayed with Chizkio until the end of the Bayis Rishon, Vayemunach ad Tzidkio, and it stayed in Chizkio's hands until the last king of Malchus Yehuda, the king Tzidkio, he was defeated by Nebuchadnezzar, and Bo Kazdim, the Nebuchadnezzar and his armies, when they told him Tzidkio, Nebuch, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and they took all the wealth that had gotten from Paro originally, from Moshe Rabbeinu, taking it out. Ultimately, it went to Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar ultimately was defeated after three generations. The Parsiim took it from him, his son Abel Merodach, then Belshazzar, and then the Parsiim came, Bo Parsiim, Natalu Mikazdim, and they took it from Nebuchadnezzar's Babel army, from the Kazdim. And then they lost it eventually, the Parsiim, they lost it, Bo Yevonim, the Greeks came, Natalu Miparsiim, and they took it all. And then finally the Greeks were replaced by the Romans, Bo Romium, Natalu, the Romans came, and they took all this wealth, Miyad Yevonim from the Yevonim, and then it is still in the depths of the vaults of the Vatican or wherever in Rome, Vadayin Munach Beromi. It's still there today. We don't have somebody that conquered Rome and then took that wealth with them. And Yezus Hashem, when Mashiach comes, Mashiach Tzidkenu comes, that money will be reserved again for Klal Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina tells us more about the wealth of Mitzrayim. He says, Shlosh Matmionios, Hitmin Yosef Mitzrayim. There were three otzros, the three storehouses of money that Yosef collected from three different groups of people. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that there were people that were of the Avodah Zarah that came to buy food, and Yosef wanted nothing to do with that money, so he put that into an Avodah Zarah pile. And that ultimately, we'll see, went to Korach, and that's why Korach, unfortunately, had such a downfall. Then there were people that just weren't such good people. They were Ganavim, but they weren't of the Avodah Zarah. And that money went eventually to the great king Antoninus, the great Tsar Antoninus, the Caesar, who was a good friend of Rebbe. And he was a very wealthy person. It says that Rebbe and Antoninus, they never had even the rarest vegetables always on the table, even when they were, quote, out of season. So that's the other third that went to Antoninus. That came from people that weren't good, but they weren't of the Avodah Zarah. And then finally, there were good people. There were people that observed the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. They were righteous individuals. And that money, that went to Klal Yisrael. That will be reserved for the tzaddikim in Klal Yisrael. So that's what Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina tells us. Shalosh matmonios hit min Yosef Mitzrayim, achas nizgala l'korach. One third of this went eventually to Korach. That was the Avodah Zarah money. Achas nizgala l'Antoninus ben Asveirus. So one third eventually went down, got carried down to the Caesar Antoninus, the good friend of Rebbe. And then the achas genuzel at tzaddikim l'osid lavo. The other third will eventually go to the tzaddikim b'mheir b'yameinu l'osid lavo. Now, the money that Korach got ultimately led to his downfall. As the Gemara quotes from Koheles, Shlomo Melech said, Osher, Shomor, Livolov, Liroso. Sometimes it's money that's kept for the Baalim, the owners of the money, and all it does is cause them trouble. Amar Bishon Melachish, Rishlokish says, this is a reference that Shlomo Melech is saying, Zu Oshro Shel Korach. This is a reference to all the money that Korach got. Korach was a phenomenally rich person, and it led to his downfall. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, the same story, however, when it's in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it says on the side that the Sanhedrin less teva shnemar. It doesn't say the word shnemar. In any event, this is what the pasuk says: the eis kol hayikub asher b'ragleim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, he took all the money that Dosan and Aviram and the Bnei Ruvain and others that were in Adas Korach. So he took all the money that was, quote, Asher Biraglehem. So what does this refer to? Omer Belozer said, Mamonu Shel Adam, Shemamidu Araglam. This is a reference to the idea that sometimes a person's rich, a person's wealthy, so it gives him a yikum, it gives him something to stand up on. I always tell the famous story that a person was a big Baal Tzedaka, and he was on the boards of every single local institution, and everybody was always interested in his opinion. And it was a big Baal Tzedaka, but then he lost all his money. All of a sudden he found he didn't get any more invitations to the boards. And he said to one of his friends, he says, I'm surprised, I lost my money, but I didn't lose my brains, my wisdom. How come they don't want to invite me to the boards anymore? So the person was a shota. He had never had any wisdom, but he had money, and they invited him for his money. So the money made him think that he was a very important person, a very smart person, that everybody's interested in an opinion. They were never interested in an opinion, they were interested in his money. So to over here, this wealth, Korach, and the Adas Korach, so they had tremendous wealth, but unfortunately that wealth led to their downfall. It made them think that they were something much more than they really were. Gemara continues and says, Amr of Levi. Rav Levi says, Masoi Shlosh Mios Prados Levonos. There were 300 white mules that carried the wealth of Shlomo Melech. These white mules are considered very, very strong and powerful mules. And the number 300, the Rashbam always points out over here and elsewhere, and many others do as well, the Lashon of Shlosh Meos, or 300, is always used as a Lashon of Guzba. It means a lot. So it tells us over here that he had tremendous wealth, that he required 300 of these mules to go and carry the keys. He had the Shlosh Meos Prados Levonos, Hayu Maftechos Beis Ginoz of Shokorach. They just carried the keys to his Otsros. Imagine you have so much wealth that you needed 300 donkeys, a lot of donkeys, just to carry the keys to your storehouses, never mind the wealth itself. If you just had 300 donkeys carrying your wealth, it would be impressive. Here was just keys. The Kulu, all of these donkeys were carrying these keys, that these keys were made up of Klide Uklipe, the Gilda. They were made up of very light material. They were made up of ore. Gilda's ore, of leather. So the locks and the keys over here, that's what Aklide Uklipe, so they were made up of very light material, and yet it required 300 donkeys, 300 mules, to go and carry all of this tremendous wealth that Korach had, but ultimately that was what caused Korach's downfall. Now we have a simon. I always say over the simonim, it's a good thing to say, Diash, Adish, Kazdech, Meodecha, and Simon. This is a Simon, and all of this is actually going to be, each of these is going to stand for the Dalet for David, Yud is for Yishai, the Aleph is for the Achim of David. David was one of eight sons, and Shin stands for Shmuel the Navi, and the Chaf will stand for Kulam, all of them. And this is going to be a conversation. We'll see that the Hallel, we're getting back to the Hallel that we say, so there's a conversation going on. The next time you say Hallel and you understand this conversation, you will appreciate the Hallel so much more. So this Siman is leading up, telling us the authorship of a whole series of psukim in the Hallel that we recite when we call what we call Hallel. Not the Hallel HaGodol of Kili Olam Chasda, but what we call Hallel. So, Amr Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeini, Amr Reb Yonasan, Reb Shmuel Nachmeini, Sedim Reb Yonasan, the pasuk, we start from Odcha Ki Ani Soni, right? This is towards the end of the Hallel, where we have a whole series of psukim that we end up repeating these psukim. So, we'll talk about why we repeat them after we go through this series of psukim. So, the first statement, Odcha Ki Ani Soni, that was made Amr David. David HaMelech says that. That's the first part of this simon, this mnemonic over here, Dayash. So the first Dalet is standing for David HaMelech. I won't go through each time and say what it is, but if you go back to the mnemonic, you'll see each statement follows the author of that statement. So David HaMelech said, I have to thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Odcha, because you answered all of my pleas for help, and you are Odcha Ki Ani Soni, Vatehi Li Li Yeshua, and you are Yeshua for me. So this is David HaMelech said. The next statement, Evan Moasu Habonim, Haisal Rosh Pina, that stone that people who build buildings didn't want to use, they didn't think it was such a good stone, they thought it was an inferior stone, ultimately was the Rosh Pina, that was the cornerstone of the building. Who said this? Amar Yishai. This was David HaMelech's father, Yishai. Yishai was the Gadol HaDor. And Shmuel HaNavi comes to Yishai and says, one of your sons is going to be the king. Now, he had eight sons, and David HaMelech was the youngest of the sons, and the Medrash tells us that there's a fascinating story behind David's birth, that his mother, who came from Moab, she was a descendant of Rus, and that was the potential problem, because we didn't have that drasha finalized that you're not allowed to accept into Klai Yisrael people from Moab, but not Moavis. So therefore, they didn't know this drasha at this time, and Yishai thought that maybe he shouldn't be married to somebody who's a Moavis. So he actually divorced her, but she loved him very much, and she didn't want to leave him. So she disguised herself as her maidservant, who David was now going to marry, and he ended up having relations with his wife. Her name was Nitzevet Bas Adoel, and she was a very, very great woman. She was one of the Noshim Tzidkonios that brought about tremendous positive things for Klal Yisrael, including ultimately being the progenitor of Moshiach, and therefore David HaMelech was born. But everybody was accusing her. They didn't realize that she was pregnant from her husband. She was accused of actually having Rachmona Lassana committing adultery. He hadn't fully divorced her. So therefore, they thought that she had committed adultery. And David HaMelech, for the first 28 years of his life, was kept almost like in secret as Rachmona Lassana is being thought of being a mamzer. In any event, with that background, we can understand how he was considered Evan Moasu Abonim, that the builders thought that he was a lousy stone. David HaMelech's lineage was brought into question until ultimately it became clear that the din was Moab, but not Moavi, but not Moavis, and you're allowed to have married her. And Yishai's marriage to Nitzevet Bas Ador was an absolutely perfectly good marriage, and therefore, this was the cornerstone. This eventually came the Rosh Pina. I think I misspoke a moment ago. I said that she was from Rus Hamovia. No, I meant to say that Yishai was from Rus Hamovia, and therefore he felt that he wasn't about to be a member of Klai Yisrael, and he didn't think his marriage to her was allowed, and that's why he wanted to divorce her. In any event, that's what Yishai said. And now, afterwards, David's brothers, they recognized that David really was David Melech Yisrael, so they said, Be'ez Hashem, this is all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what his brothers said, Amru Echav. And then finally, Shmuel Anavi says, Zayom Os Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this day, Amr Shmuel. Then we continue, and we next have a statement that David's brothers say, Ono Hashem Oshia No Amru Echav. So David's brothers say to David, go and save us, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Allow David to be a leader of Klai Yisrael. Let him save us. And David responds, On Hashem, Matzlicha no, Omer David. David says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, please let me be Matzliach in saving Klai Yisrael. And then Yishai comes along and says, Baruch haba b'shem Hashem, Omer Yishai. He says, thank you Hashem for allowing this all to happen. And then finally, we see the Shmuel says, Berachnuchem, Mibeis Hashem, Omer Shmuel. Shmuel blesses all of them. When Shmuel originally came, he didn't know who would be the son. He looked at each of the sons of David Melech and said, this would be the one, this would be the one. And Mara goes through elsewhere why each one wasn't chosen, or at least the first couple, why they weren't chosen, what their fault was. And ultimately, he says to Yishai, don't you have any other sons? So therefore, he brings out David, and David is the chosen one. And then finally, we have Kel Hashem Vayar Lonu. So that was said by Chaf, all of them, Amra, Umru, Chulan. They all said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the real God that will light everything up for us, Vayar Lonu. Then finally we have Isru Chagba Visem. That was what Shmuel said, Amar Shmuel. And that says, let's go bring Korbanos. We'll bind up all these Korbanos and we'll bring Korban Shlomim. And then it says, Keli Atov Yodeka, David, Amar David. David says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you in fact are our God, and I will give you praise. We'll see in a moment. The Gemara will say, Yodeka, so this refers to David HaMelech leading the benching. We'll see this story in a moment, another fascinating story. In any event, that's what it means, Keli Atov Yodeka, Amar David, and then finally they all conclude and say, Elokai Aroma Memka, you are Kodesh Baruch Hu, are all of our gods, and we will go and praise you. We will go and sing praises to you, Amru Hulan. So this conversation towards the end of Hallel is a fascinating conversation relating the events of Shmuel choosing David HaMelech over all of his brothers, and Yishai and the brothers, and David and Shmuel's comments in this conversation. Gemara continues and says, Tnan Hosam, we learned in the Gemara in Sukkah, in a Mishnah there, it says, Mokum Shenagu, return to Yom Beis. In those places where people have the minug, lichpol, to repeat a pasuk in Hallel, like we do, we say, we say it twice. So in places where the custom was to go and repeat certain psukim, normally you're not allowed to repeat psukim. It's a big kitrug on chazanim when they sing and they repeat words. You're really not allowed to do that, especially in the Hallel, where it's a bracha, and you're not allowed to go and add extra words in a bracha. So therefore, it's really a problem. But he says, where the mokum, the minog was in that place, was to go and repeat certain psukim, lichpol, yichpol, you're allowed to. And where the custom was not to be lichpo, livsho, to read it straight without saying it twice. So yivsho. So then you only read it one time. You're not allowed to say the words extra. And likewise, the Mishnah Sukkah says, where the minhag was, levarich achrov, yivarich. If you had a minhag to say the bracha at the end of halal, melech melaba tishbachos, which begins with the paragraph yalucha. That's why, for example, for those that say halal on Yom HaAtzmaut without a bracha, so you don't say the bracha at the beginning, but you also don't say the bracha at the end, therefore you don't say the whole paragraph at the end. Yalucha is an entire bracha itself. It's a concluding bracha, which starts from yalucha, so therefore you leave that out. So in places where they have the minhag to say the bracha afterwards, yalucha, including the ending with bracha, Tashem, Melech, Lova, Tishbacho, so they say it. And Hakol, Kemino, Kamedina. Every place should say its custom. And on this, Amar Abai says, Loshanu El Yachrov, where they had the custom to say the bracha afterwards, they did it. Where they didn't have the bracha, the custom to say the bracha, they didn't. But that's only talking about the bracha at the end of Halo. Abu Lafanov, everybody agrees that the bracha at the front of Halo, the Shek Shon Mitzvah Sivon Lekoros HaHalel, that everybody agrees, Levarach, you must say that, because the Amar Yehuda Mishmol called HaMitzos Mevarach Lehem Over Las Yosin. We have a positive commandment that we have to say Halo to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu at certain times. So if you don't say the Halo, so then you would not be doing what you're supposed to do. It's a mitzvah, and therefore we always make a bracha on a mitzvah. Kol haMitzvos Mevarach Lehem Over Las Yosin. And you have to make the bracha before you do the mitzvah. You're going to shake the lulav nasa, you make the bracha, and then you shake the lulav nasa. You're going to blow shofar, you make the bracha, and then you listen to the shofar blowing. You're going to say halal, so first you make the bracha, likros halal, and then you say the halal. And you have to say this over Las Yosin. Now this is a phrase that we've used many, many times, and this piece of the Gemara is discussed in a number of places, this same discussion. How do we know the words over Las Yosin really means right before you do something? My mashma the high over Las Yosin is lishno diikdumihu. How do we know that it means that you say it right beforehand? So we have three sources. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak tells us to sieve, because the pasuk says when Nebuch David HaMelech is being told that his son Avshalom was killed in the battle, so somebody wanted to rush and tell David HaMelech the news. One of these says he shouldn't rush to tell people the bad news. It's not a good thing. Don't be a person who goes and tells all sorts of bad news. That's not a good thing to do. Amar Nachman Yitzchak Tichsiv. The pasuk says Vayorotz Achimatz Derech Hakikar. Achimatz went to run ahead. Vayabor Sakushi. He passed the Kushi who was sent and instructed to tell David HaMelech the bad news. So he ran ahead of this Kushi. So that's where Rav Nachman Yitzchak uses this word, Vayabar Sakushi, so he passed in front of him. So it means over Las Yosin. Before you do it, Vayabar Sakushi, he passed the Kushi, that's what it means over, means before you do the mitzvah, you say the bracha. Abai says for the following pasuk, Abai Mamihocha, it says, Vuavar Lefneim, by Yaakov, when he was meeting up with Esav, after he comes back from Lavan's house, so it says, he passed in front of all of his family. So that's the Lashon. Others say, it was from this. This is the third answer. Mehocha, from this pasuk. Vayavar malkum lefneim v'ashem b'roshem. We can have a micha describing the mitzvah Hashem, Meher B'Yomeinu, the coming of Mashiach. So it says, and the Melech HaMashiach came, vayavar malkum lefneim v'ashem b'roshem. Hashem was at the front. But the Melech HaMashiach passed in front of all the other people. These are three sources for the word over, meaning before. Right before, immediately before. Now we go back and discuss a braisa in Sukkah, Tanya. It says over there, Rebbe Kofel Bodvarim, that Mishnah that we just brought down, saying that sometimes we double up and sometimes we don't. We say it straight, so the braisa explains that. Tanya, Rebbe Kofel Bodvarim, Rebbe doubled up certain psukim, he repeated certain psukim twice, and Rebbe Elazar ben Prata, Mosi Bodvarim, he added on additional psukim to double up. So, which ones did David double up? So that's from right after On Hashem Moshiach, no On Hashem Atzlicha, no, so he doubled up. The Baruch Haba that comes right after that. And Rebbe Elazar ben Prata added on, my Mosif, what did he add on? Amar Abai, Mosif Lichpo mi Odcho Lamata. He started doubling up from Odcho Kiani Sani, going all the way till the end of that capital, and then doubling up on Hashem Hoshin, on Hashem Atzlichon. Gemara now says, Dorish Rav Avira, Rav Avira dash in the following, Zimnim, sometimes, Amalei Mishmei, the Rav Ami, the Zimnim, Amalei Mishmei, now the Gersa that we have is Rav Ashi, but Rav Ashi was much, much later, and this should really be Rav Asi. Now, some also switch it around, that the first person, he would say it would be Rav Asi, and then Rav Ami, because Rav Asi was really the Rebbe of even Rav Ami. So we sometimes heard things from each of these two great Rebbeim of his, Rav Asi, who was also the Rebbe of Rav Ami, but Rav Ami was a great godl in his own right, so Rav Avira would sometimes say it over the name of one sometimes the name of the other. Mustama heard the same thing from both of them because they were Talmud Chavit to each other. In any event, the Gemara uses this expression many, many times, but the first one would be Rav Asi and the second one would be Rav Ami, and Rav Ashi is an incorrect Girsa. In any event, what did he say? He explained the following pasuk. My decision when the pasuk says, "Vayigdal hayelav vayigomal," when Yitzchak grew up a little bit, some say it was his bris milah, that vayigomal was actually his bris milah. Others say no, that it means literally that Avraham Avinu made some sort of a suda at the time that he was weaned from Sari Menu. So it says, "Vayigdal hayelav vayigomal," when he was no longer nursing from his mother. So Avraham Avinu was so happy that he had a son. He made a huge feast at that point in time and invited all the people to come. The Medrash says that nobody believed that Yitzchak was really Sarah's son. After all, she was so old at that time. And Avraham was so old that even if Sarah was the mother, it wasn't from Avraham. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nace that she nursed all of the babies that were brought that day to prove that she, in fact, was the mother of Yitzchak. In any event, at that time, we homiletically darshan it as follows. Osed HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasu suda letzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make eventually a suda for the tzadikim who are the zaro shel Yitzchak. B'yom shigmo chasdo lezaro shel Yitzchak. The day that he wants to finally bring about the chesed that he is ultimately going to bring to the zaro shel Yitzchak. Le'achar she'ochlu v'shosim at this suda, after they finish eating and drinking, you'll see who was at the Suda, so they want a bench. So you always give the greatest person to lead the benching. So they gave it to Avraham Avinu. Nosem lo Avraham Avinu, koshel bracha varach. So they have all these great, great Torah figures there, as we'll see. And so they gave it to the elder of Klai Yisrael, the patriarch of Klai Yisrael, Avraham Avinu. No, you lead us in the benching. Nosem lo Avraham Avinu, koshel bracha varach. And Avraham refuses. Avraham says, sorry. Eni varach, shatim yani yishmol. I can't be the one to bench because while I had Yitzchak, I also had Yishmael, and look what he's done to Klai Yisrael over the years, and therefore it's inappropriate. I had such a child coming out of me that I should lead the benching. So he said, okay, fine. I'm going to let Yitzchak. So we'll let Yitzchak lead the benching then. So what did they do? They give it to Yitzchak and tell him, no, Tol Uvarach, you lead the benching. And Yitzchak says the same thing. I'm going to let him, no, I can't. And Uvarach, it's inappropriate that I should lead the benching because Shosim Ben Yasef. I had an Asaf. Granted, I had a Yaakov, but I also had an Asaf. So they go to Yaakov. No, Yaakov had 12 wonderful sons. So I'm with Yaakov. They say to Yaakov, no, you Tol Uvarach, you take the cup and bench because you have no blemish in your lineage. So Omelam, Yaakov says, no, I'm also not Roy to say the benching because Eni Uvarach, I can't lead the benching. Shinososi Shtei Achoyos B'chayein. I married two sisters. I married Rachel and Leah. And that was something that even though the Torah hadn't yet been given, so I married two sisters and it was something that was wrong. Now, in fact, they had taken upon themselves all the others to fulfill all the mitzvahs of the Torah. So how did he marry two sisters? So the Mefarshim was saying, no, there was only a chutz laretz, and that's why Nebuch Rachel died before she went into Eretz Yisrael, because he couldn't have married both of them, stayed married to both of them in Eretz Yisrael. And the law is that Nebuch, if one sister passes away, you are allowed to marry that other sister. After your wife, the first sister, had passed away, you could marry her sister. So that's exactly what happened with Yaakov Avinu. But still, he felt that it was inappropriate, since he had married two sisters, that he should lead the benching. Okay, so he said, Shasidin Torah, La'ostra Nolai, since eventually there would have been Osir, so therefore, I'm not the right one to lead the benching. So they go to Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm a little Moshe, Tol Uvarach. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu, you're the greatest person ever lived in Klai Yisrael. You take the cup of benching and lead us in the benching. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Om Olam, oh, that's not appropriate for me either. Eni Uvarach, I can't lead the benching. Shalozachisi likonis l'Eretz Yisrael, lo b'chayai, lo b'mosi. I wasn't Roy to go into Eretz Yisrael, not only not in my lifetime, but even I wasn't Zoch to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, they give it to Yoshua. Om Olam Yoshua, you take the cup. Tol Uvarach, you lead us in the benching. And Yoshua says, I can't. Om Olam, also, I'm not Roy to lead the benching. Enim Uvarach, you know why I'm not Roy? Shalosh Uchis Lebein. I did not have a son. He had daughters, but he didn't have a son. He married Rachav Azona, the famous Rachav from the downfall of Yericho. And she was Miskayeres, and she was a great tzaddikess. And he had from him many, many children, eventually, that became Nevi'im and Nevi'os. Huldah Nevi'ah came from him, the Gemara tells us, and seven Nevi'im came from him, but he never had a son. As the Pasuk says, Dechsev Yoshua bin Nun, and in Divrei HaYamim, it tells us that he was known as bin Nun, Nun b'no. Nun was the son of his father, and Yeshua, but no, and Yeshua was the son of Nun, but it doesn't go any further there. So therefore, he had no male children, and therefore he said, I'm not worthy to lead the benching. So finally, they give it to David HaMelech. Omer lo David, you take the cup, Tol Uvarach. And David HaMelech says, no problem. Omer lehem David, ani avarech. And that's what we said before, at the end of the Omer Aleph, when David HaMelech said, Eli atah av yodeko, you are Kodesh Baruch Hu, oh my God, and I will give you praise. In other words, I will lead the benching. Ani avarech, I will lead the benching. V'lin ol avarech, and it's appropriate that I should bench. Shenemar, as David himself said, Kos Yeshua says, so, v'shem Hashem akra, I will pick up the cup, which is referring to the cup of benching over here, this Kos Yeshuos, and the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will call out, Rabbo Sain of Arech. Now, why did David HaMelech do this? It sounds a little bit arrogant. It sounds all these great Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Moshe and Yoshua say, I'm not worthy to bench. And David says, no problem, I'll lead the benching. It's a little bit funny. So many terusim were given. So Ian Yaakov says, he says, Lefi shekolo orev noem zmiros liyisrael, that David HaMelech always would sing zmiros. So it's very appropriate that he should be the one to lead the benching, singing songs of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means also he wrote Tehillim, and he adds that David Melech was a Tuvayin, and it says that the Tuvayin, a generous person, should be the one to lead the benching. The Eitz Yosef brings down that David was a king. Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Moshe, and Yeshua weren't kings. They were great, great individuals, but they weren't a king. And a king is not allowed to be mochel on his kavod. So, ein yochel limchol al kvodo. So, Melech Shmoch HaKvodo, Ein Kodem Ochel. So they wanted to give David HaMelech the benching, so he doesn't have the right to refuse. He has no choice. That's why he benched. Finally, the Ein Elio says, but David also had a son, Avshalom, who wasn't so good. So how come he didn't say like Avram and Yitzchak said, well, we had a son, Yishmael, we had a son, Esav, so therefore we're not ready to bench. David should have said, I had a son, Avshalom. So the answer is that no, Achitofel caused Avshalom to rebel, and this was actually a fulfillment of a pasuk that it says that hini mekim olecha ra mitoch beisecha, that this was a fulfillment of a nevuah, and therefore it wasn't a bad thing that Avshalom rebelled. It was a fulfillment of a nevuah, and therefore David HaMelech felt that no, he had no problems with his sons. That was just a fulfillment of a nevuah. There was a reflection on David and not so much on Avshalom, and therefore David HaMelech took the cup of benching and said ani avarech v'li noa levarech. Now we go right to the next Mishnah. Famous Mishnah. Short Mishnah, but a very, very famous one. Everybody knows this Mishnah by heart. Eim aftir nachara Pesach hafi komen. That after we have the Korban Pesach, so then you don't bring anything else to eat. You don't have afi komen. Afi komen technically means dessert. Afi komen, you bring it in front of us at the end of the meal, so we don't have this dessert. We want to leave the taste of the Korban Pesach in our mouth. So Eim aftir nachara Pesach hafi komen. We don't eat anything after the eating of the afi komen. Eat the Korban Pesach ala sova. Remember, we had the Chagigas Yudalit, or if there's enough Korban Pesach, everybody can eat from it, and then nothing else. Where it says, my afikomen. What exactly does the word afikomen mean? So I'm a Rav, it refers to shlo yakru mechabur lechabura. It means, according to Rav, nothing to do with dessert, nothing to do with food. It means that a person isn't allowed to get up from one chabura and go and eat by another chabura. You have to eat the Korban Pesach in one chabura in one place, and therefore you can't go and uproot yourself and eat it someplace else. It means afik mekomen. You're not allowed to leave your place. However, all the rest of the Amorim that we're going to have now are all going to darshan it, meaning some type of a food. But Shmuel said, Shmuel Omar, kigon, it means over here a dessert that's a delicious dessert. Kigon ardiloy li, I personally like mushrooms, and that's what I like to have for dessert. Or for Abba, which is the way that he referred to Rav, either as a sign of covet, or that was some saying Rav's name. So in any event, it goes liyali Abba. And Abba, he likes to have these pigeons. He likes to have pheasant on the glass for the dessert at the end of the meal. And similarly, you have Rabbi Chanina Bar Shila, Rabbi Yochanan, Omar, they both said this includes other types of delicacies and desserts. You go tamarim, kloyos, vegozim. It means to have either dates or these popcorns, these kernels, or egozim or walnuts that they would like to have as a delicious treat, as dessert. We have a brisa in accord with Rav Yochanan. Tanya Kavosi Rav Yochanan. Eim aftir nachar Pesach. When it says you're not allowed to go and have after the Pesach anything, it means kigon tomorim kloyos regozim. Up beferish what Rav Yochanan said, and also the opinion of Rabbi Chanina Bar Shila. I'm not sure why it says only Tanya Kavosi the Rav Yochanan. It's really Tanya Kavosi the Rabbi Chanina Bar Shila and Rav Yochanan. Now we have another famous statement. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Eim Aftir Nachar Matzah Afikomen. That nowadays, Nebuch, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have the Korban Pesach. Meher Yomenu, this year, Mitzvah Hashem, we will bring the Korban Pesach. So this year we'll say, Eim Aftir Nachar Pesach Afikomen. But Unfortunately, when we don't have the Korban Pesach, so the matzah that we eat then represents the eating of the Korban Pesach. So we say em aftir and achar matzah, that we don't eat anything else after matzah, afikoman, we don't have this dessert, the matzah should be the last taste in our mouth. That's what Yehuda Mishmuel says. Then we learned in our Mishnah said em aftir and achar pesach afikoman, that implies achar pesach, hud lo, you're not allowed to eat anything else after the Korban Pesach. That you can't have dessert. But implying that if the matzah, you could eat something else. So this is a kasha on Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says no. Lo mibar kumar. Our Mishnah is telling us that even the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to eat anything after it, and certainly not anything after matzah. Lo mibar yachar matzah, the lo nafish tamayu. You certainly aren't allowed to eat anything after matzah, which doesn't have such a strong taste. And therefore, you would nullify the taste of the matzah if you ate something after matzah. But it's chiddush is afilu achar aval yachar pesach, which has a very strong taste. It's basar, the nafish taimei. Lo motzi avure, and you would say that maybe you still, even if you had a piece of cake after the Korban Pesach, you'd still taste the meat in your mouth. The nafish taimei, it's a very strong taste. Lo motzi avure, and it won't go away so quickly. So last lambos, I might have thought you could have dessert after Korban Pesach. Yeah, after matzah you can't, but after Korban Pesach you could. Kamash Ron, so the chiddush of our Mishnah is no, that even after the Korban Pesach you can't eat something. Now, let us say, let us say that the following brisa is in accord with what Yehuda Moshe Shmuel just said, because the brisa tells us, hasufgonin, baduvshonin, vaiskritin, all of these are various types of matzah-made products. As the Rashbam brings down over here, the sufgonim are rikikin, hasuyin, kisfug, mitoch, sheisosin, racha. These are certain types of wafers that are made like a sponge because their dough is very soft, and ein toras lechem alayim, they don't have the status of being matzah, v'anon b'niyin lechem, and we need lechem only, so therefore you're not yotzi with them as matzah, but they're a food that they would eat after the meal. Likewise, duvshanim are these fried in oil types of wafers, and oil and in honey. They ain't lechemoni. Also, it's not lechemoni. This would be lechem ashira. And likewise, the iskritin is also an additional type. Rashbam doesn't explain exactly what it is, but these are all types of desserts that they would have. And it says, in this brisa, these sufganim, the dushanim, and iskritin, all the mali kreis, maybe you can eat as much as you want of them on the night of Pesach, they're not chametz, ubuvach, yochol, kizayis, matzah, bachrona. But they don't fulfill the lechemoni, and at the end, you have to have matzah to fulfill your eating kizayis of matzah. So it is, implies that this has to be the last thing that you eat. Bachrona in, you can only eat the matzah at the end. But if you eat the matzah beforehand and then had these things, that would be no good. We turn to Kuf Chof Oman Aleph, Barishon Olo. So you can't have them at the beginning. So therefore, you clearly see that the matzah has to be the last thing that you eat. Exactly like Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, no, not necessarily so. Lomi Boy Kumar. This Bryce will be telling us, again, this style of Lomi Boy Kumar. No, Lomi Boy Barishon, you don't have to tell me you're allowed to eat all of these delicious foods at the beginning of the meal, after the matzah. That you don't have to tell me, because of course it says that you have to eat the matzah with teyovim, so you eat the matzah before you eat the delicious foods. Abu Bachrona, I might have thought, duma osi lemecha lachi legasa, but if you're going to eat the matzah at the end of the meal, after you had all this delicious food, you might say that's achilas gasa, and aim alone, that you can't eat the matzah then, kamashvila, no. As long as it's really not achilas gasa, you can have all the other types of these non-lechem-only, non-chametz items, and then eat the matzah, it's perfectly good. So you can have it certainly at the beginning, or you can have it at the end, that's not a problem. But when you conclude and eat the matzah at the end, which represents the Korban Pesach, then you can't have anything after that. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, and this brisa seems to support it, but then really ultimately does not support it. Now we have this statement of Yehuda Mishmuel almost in the exact opposite. Mazutra Masni Hochi. Mazutra learned Rav Yehuda Mishmuel's statement in the following way. He said, Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, said over by Rav Yosef, in the name of Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, Maftirin Achara Matzah Fikomen, the exact opposite. What we said in our Mishnah, Emaftirin Achara Pesach Fikomen, but after matzah, in fact, isn't that you can have dessert. Maftirin achara matzah afikomen. After you eat the matzah, you still can have dessert. So let us say, name Masayile, let us say that our Mishnah supports this version of Shmuel very nicely. Before we had a kasha from our Mishnah, now we say our Mishnah supports it very nicely, because our Mishnah specifically said, Ein maftirin achara pesach afikomen, implying, achara pesach delo, aval achara matzah maftirin. So this seems to be perfectly in accord with what Rav Yosef, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel said. He says, lo, lav dafka. Lo mi boy komar. Again, this is a certain style over here that says it's not necessary to say this. Lo mi boy, you don't have to tell me achar matzah de lo nofish taime. You don't have to tell me after matzah, which doesn't have a very strong taste, that you're not allowed to eat anything else. However, but since Pesach has a strong taste, I would have said, no, that's what you have to tell me. So Chumash V'lan, that even here, he's telling me that not only after matzah, but even after the Pesach. So therefore, it's not a riot to Rav Yosef or Mehuda Mishmul. Mari now has a kasha, meisve, the same brice that we brought down before, is a raya, now we bring his akasha. Hasufkonim, vatubshonim, vaskukitin, all these various types of non-lechem oni, kosher lepesach types of foods. So, odm mali kresvian, you'll have to eat as much as you want of them at night. However, just make sure, bavad, shiochal, kizayis matzah bachrona. We have the word achilas, but it means that you have to eat shiochal, that means an achilas kizayis. So, therefore, the word achilas is unnecessary. So, that's why it's in parentheses. So, as long as you eat a kizayis of matzah at the very end, bachrona in means at the very end, marishona lo, so that implies that you're not allowed to eat anything after the matzah, kasha and Rav Yosef and Yehuda and Shmuel. Shmuel says again, lo mi boy kamar, there's a certain style where it tells you, didn't have to tell us this. Lo mi boy, you didn't have to tell me, marishona, that you're allowed to eat matzah at the beginning, because you're supposed to eat the matzah l'teyavon when you're hungry, so the kochel b'teyavon is certainly okay. Abu bachrona, I might have said at the end, because now if you stuffed yourself with all of these delicacies, but they're not lechamoni, so now you want to be yosi lechamoni, that's achilas gasa, and I might have thought that that's no good. Emelo, therefore, kamash v'lan. That's what the chiddush is over here, that you can eat all of these delicacies beforehand, and it won't ruin it that you're eating achilas gasa with the matzah afterwards. Amar Rava, Rava said matzah b'sman hazeh daraisa. Nowadays, and this is the way we hold, that matzah is considered a mitzvah daraisa, even though the maror is not, but the matzah is considered a mitzvah daraisa nowadays. However, the maror is the rabbanon. Why is there a difference nowadays between matzah and mara? You're going to tell me because the post says, al matzo sum rorim yochlua, that you eat the korban pesach matzah mara, and if you don't have the korban pesach, then it's not the raisa to eat the mara. So then, bisman the ika pesach yesh mara, bisman the leka pesach leka mara, if that's your reasoning, so then it says the same thing by the matzah. Matzah nami, hoksiv al matzo sum rorim yochlua. So why would you distinguish over here between the matzah and the mara? If you're telling me the mara without the pesach is not the raisa, then the matzah without the pesach should not be the raisa as well. So it says no, because matzah, we have another pasuk. Matzah mihader hodar beikra ba'erev tochlu matzos, because we have a separate pasuk that says, unrelated to the Karban Pesach, that you have to eat matzah leil Pesach, in the night of the Seder. You have to eat matzah, even if you don't have a Karban Pesach. So that's the opinion of Rava. On the other hand, Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, no, the way we originally learned it is correct, that only Bisman Pesach are the matzah mar deraisa, but Bisman hazeh, Rav Acha bar Yaakov tells us, echazeh v'echazeh, the Rabbanan nowadays without the chiv of the Pesach. Aye, what do you do with the extra pasuk the Rav brought down, elotziv ba'erv tochlu matzos? So what says, no, hay miboyle l'tomei v'shoye b'der chachoka. That's to teach me that a person who's tomei in the zman of the Beis HaMikdash, when they had a Karban Pesach, but if he was tomei, he couldn't eat the Karban Pesach, or he was b'der chachoka, and therefore wasn't obligated to bring a Karban Pesach, nevertheless, wherever they are, they should eat matzah. I might have thought, I might have said that maybe it's a package, that only when you eat the Pesach do you have a chiv of matzah mora. But if you can't eat the Pesach because you're tummy or derech chachoka, maybe then you don't eat the matzah mora as well, kamash v'lan. That's why it tells me, but erev tochlu matzos. But in fact, if you don't have a carbon Pesach, Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, in fact, it's only the Rabbanan, even nowadays, to eat the matzah. Rava, what does he respond to this? Rava would tell you, Rava Amalach, Rava would say, no, Tomei v'shoye b'der chachok, I don't need a pasuk for. Lo tzarech kra. You know why I don't need a pasuk? Because Arel and a ben nechar, the logari, the Arel ben nechar, the Tanya, there we learned that the Arel, person who never wasn't able to have a bris milah even through no fault of his own, and certainly if it's through fault of his own, or a ben nechar, a person who is not a full Jew, so then I would have said, the Tanya, call Arel, lo yochabo. It says that an Arel or a ben nechar, lo yochabo. So it says, bo en ocha, from the Karban Pesach, then I'll eat, avo ocha ben matzah b'mara. So there's no reason to think that the Tomei and Derech Chachoka should be worse off than the Arel and the ben nechar. And if the Arel and ben nechar are allowed to eat and are mechuyiv to eat matzah and mara, so certainly the Tomei and the Derech Chachoka are mechuyiv to eat the matzah and the mara during this man of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, I don't need this pasuk, wherever tochlu matzos, to tell me that, and therefore Rava says I have the pasuk b'erev tochlu matzos to tell me that even bisman hazeh, and we don't have a Karban Pesach, nevertheless the mitzvah daraisa is b'erev tochlu matzos to eat the matzah d'oraisa. No, this is such a good pshat. Rav Acha bar Akiva, how come he needs the pasuk erev tochlu matzos to teach me the tami derech chokah? Why isn't he learning it out from the drasha kol orel lo yochal bo, just like Rava did? So Gemara says, because Rav Acha bar Akiva says k'siv bahai, it says in regards to the mitzvah of eating matzah, as well as uksiv bahai, as well as in regards to the mitzvah tami derech chokah, and you need both of them. Now, we learned previously why you need both of them, as the Rashbam brings down, in Dibur Masl, uksiv b'hai, utzricha. The Tomei v'shoyev ederech chokka, lo yolif me'orol b'necho. Rav Acha bar Akiva says, you can't learn them out from the orol b'necho. Why? Do is le tashlumen l'pesach sheni. Because the Tomei ederech chokka, they can bring it another time. Pesach sheni. And therefore, I might have said, since they're going to bring their carbon pesach, pesach sheni, lo yocha matzah b'rishon, ashi yasa pesach sheni. Therefore, they have no obligation. V'kaim al matzus and roi milchlu. They'll fulfill the mitzvah of matzah and marah on Pesach Sheni as well as the Karban Pesach. However, the Arul b'neichar, dinu sheyochlu matzah rishon, they have to eat the matzah on Pesach Rishon because the whole lo achli b'sheni, because the Arul b'neichar have no change. It's not like they're going to be eligible to eat a Karban Pesach Sheni. No, they're never going to be eligible. And therefore, that's why you need to tell me, b'davka, the Arul b'neichar have, but the Tomei and the Derech Chok, I wouldn't know automatically for them. Because of Rachman of Erev Tochlu Matzah, if you'd only tell me that, I would have said, Hava Mukme Le Ba'arul Ben Nechar. I would have then have put that by the Arul Ben Nechar. Bishun Gales Le Teshlum. I would have said, that only applies to the Arul Ben Nechar. I will tell me there, Chokka, these will Teshlum, Lowless Taiva Rishon. They don't have the obligation. Therefore, it's not automatically that you can say that the Tommy and their Chokka should learn from the Arul Ben Nechar. Therefore, cause of Rachman, Tommy, Bishoy Ben Chokka. That's why you need to say it twice. Tzricha, you need both of them. Finally, Gemara says, "Tani kavosi the Rava." We have a raya to Rava that bisman hazeh matzos daraisa. Only Mora is the Rabbanan, and that's based upon sheis yom tochal matzos. So v'yom shvi atzeres l'shem lokecha says for 6 days you'll eat matzah, and the seventh day should be an atzeres. That should be a day of rest where you don't do melacha. Now, mashvi rishus av sheis yomim rishus. Now, this seems to imply that the seventh day is a rishus. You don't have the obligation. It says 6 days you eat matzah, so the seventh day is a rishus. So just like the seventh day is a rishus. So too, the other days of Rishus, my time, heavy dosha riochol, because the seventh day was something that was already included, the otzim naklal, and it went out from the klal to teach us lalamed, not only for itself, lalamed atzma yotza, elamed ala klal kulo yotza, to teach us about all the days of Pesach. And therefore, on no day of Pesach is it a mitzvah to eat matzah. You're just not allowed to eat chametz. Aye, what about the first night? Yochal af laila rishon rishos. So then maybe on the first night of Pesach, it's also rishos to eat matzah. Bizman hazeh, it's not a daraisa. Only with the carbon Pesach. Talmud Lomar, no, it says, amatzos umrom yochlu. You have to eat the matzah with the carbon Pesach. En leila bizman, shebeisem et dechayim. But that would tell me then, okay, so there's a chiyuv to eat the matzah when you have a carbon Pesach. But how do we know when you don't? Bizman nebuch she'ein beis hamikdash kayim minayin. How do we know nowadays when we don't have the beis hamikdash nebuch that we have to eat the mitzvah of matzah daraisa on Leil Pesach? Talmud Lomar, that's why you have the extra pasuk be'erev tochlu matzos hakosov kivo chova. Oh, that's Rav Shita, that even nowadays without a carbon Pesach, the chiyuv of matzah is a daraisa. This is a good break point. We caught up half of a daf. Yitz Hashem, tomorrow we'll catch up the other half of the daf, and this way, one of the days of Yontif, we have already learned ahead for. This concludes today's shiur.